All right, we are live here. I'm Kevin Lawton, host of the New Warehouse Podcast, and I'm going to be joined today by fellow podcasters in the warehousing fulfillment space, Pia Mangold and also Margarita Carroza. I think I said that right.
Hi.
As Italian as I could.
yeah, that's the most Italian name you can come across, I think.
Absolutely. So it's good to have you both on here to join me. I think we're going to do some comparison of notes a little bit, as we had Modex last week and you guys are just literally wrapping up with Logimat. You guys are there in Stuttgart and the show just closed like within the last hour, right?
Yeah. Just got back.
Yeah, absolutely. So why don't you give us a little intro from the both of you for people that maybe are not familiar. You just started this new podcast, Out of the Box. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so Out of the Box, I think we have our 3-month anniversary, I guess, at some point. yay.
Yeah.
So actually, it's based on the German podcast format, Irgendwas mit Logistik. That's a pretty known German logistics podcast, and they got a lot of requests for an international format or an English-speaking format. So that's when Lynn, Margarita, and I came together and started this podcast. It's still under the IWML umbrella, but I think today...
For now.
Yeah. We plan on spinning off. And today was our fourth episode, actually. So you can find it on Spotify, but still under the Irgendwas mit Logistik umbrella. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And tell us a little bit too about the kind of the focus of the podcast there. I mean, you both come from kind of a robotics background. So tell us, what are you guys really trying to accomplish or focus on in terms of those conversations?
Yeah, sure. So I think like the whole point of the podcast is to try and speak about logistics in a relaxed manner. So we kind of want to democratize a little bit logistics and make it accessible for everyone. And it doesn't need to be a complicated discussion to make it interesting. So all of us kind of come from the logistics space, robotics space, from different angles, and we basically interview, it can be OEMs, like technology providers, also customers, like users of the technology, investors as well. We've had our third episode, and we have a pretty broad scope. So anything related to logistics. So we start from warehousing, though. That's, I think, our home.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's such a great thing. And I think that's a great kind of segue a little bit into our discussion here today around kind of comparing notes from Modex and both Logimat. And you mentioned, kind of bringing that awareness into the robotic side, automation side, and really seeing and having people help, I think, to understand in an easier way some of the maybe technical aspects of that side of things and how they can really help us out in the warehouse itself. So I guess tell us a little bit. I know from my perspective, as I looked at, I was at Modex last week, I think the first thing that hit me and that stands out probably to pretty much anybody that was there was just the massive scale of the show. It was just enormous and very large. I mean, I think it was the first year that they had a third hall there for Modex, and I think there was about 1,300 exhibitors. I think the numbers were like 45,000 attendees. But I know that Logimat is ginormous as well, is huge. So talk to us a little bit about kind of the size there and what it looks like to be over there in Stuttgart.
Yeah, so it is massive. So it feels very overwhelming, I think. I got almost lost multiple times. You kind of lose the sense of direction in those big halls. There are 10 halls, so I think most of them, though, dominated by automated solutions. So like there was one hall for software, one for mobile robots, of course, and several ones more related to different kinds of automation technology, the SRS speaking, like robotic speaking and palletizing. So and I don't think the numbers came out yet on how many attendees there were, but it felt like a lot of people and a lot of traffic to go through the 10 halls.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's funny you said you got kind of lost there a little bit. I mean, certainly massive, I'm sure. And it's interesting too that you said that it's kind of broken into the different types of I guess product or solutions. I think Modex is a little more scattered in a sense, where you know you might have like ASRS next to a forklift company, and then next to that a software company, kind of all mixed together. Pia, what about your thoughts? What do you think about kind of the overall show and the size?
Yeah, for me it was again overwhelming. I mean, the last 2 years I didn't really have the chance to look around much because I was at the Zurich booth. But this year I took the chance to really walk around the whole 3 days. And I didn't even get to all the halls, or maybe I was in all halls, but I don't think that I really was able to get all the good things. I think I missed some, but overall I was overwhelmed. I learned a lot. I was focusing a little bit more on the products or technologies I didn't know anything about or didn't know a lot about. Yeah. So that was my focus this year. So yeah, I just basically walked around and asked people to tell me everything they know that I don't know. And yeah, so my head is still so full and I'm really tired, but yeah, I had a great time.
That's great. And yeah. I think that's such a good approach. Like you said, just tell me what I don't know, right? I think that's the best option to learn there. And I think obviously getting a ton of knowledge there from shows like this and seeing things that maybe you haven't seen in person before or didn't even know were out in the market yet or existed, I think it's such a great thing to do that. And I just want to touch, I think, on the size aspect. I think it's such a great testament to our industry and just, you know, how much interest there is within our industry, not only from the perspective of people that are the end users at the end of the day in terms of attendees, but also from the perspective of people wanting to create these creative solutions and different types of, whether it's from a software perspective or from a robotics perspective within our industry. There is really seems, at least from my side, I'm curious what you guys think on your side, but it seems that there's a lot of investment going into and a lot of interest in proving out newer kind of cutting edge technologies within our industry in a practical way, which I think is pretty cool. Are you guys seeing the same thing on your side of the world there?
Well, yeah, I don't know, like, let's talk about what is cutting edge. But I would say, like, in general, like, we didn't see anything, like, groundbreaking at Logimat. Like, not a lot of new, disruptive technology. I think, at least me and Pia, like, Pia can speak for herself as well. But we got the impression that we, like, a lot of vendors are focused on improving like the existing solutions and really focusing on their existing products. I don't know, Pia, if you had the same impression.
Yeah, same actually. So yeah, like I told you, I was walking around and asked people to tell me everything they know that I don't know, but I wasn't really amazed, maybe on one or two booths, but actually it was cool to get to know the solutions, but I kind of had the feeling that I've heard that before. And a lot of products were, like Margarita said, improvements of existing products or storage systems. It's just that they adapted it to more use cases or more industries, or had a different approach on customization or standardization, either way. But it wasn't that I get introduced to a completely new system.
Interesting.
So yeah, Kevin, tell us what was so disruptive, so new at Modex. We're a bit curious now.
Yeah, I mean, I think for us, like, I mean, I know kind of on the European side, I think you guys have been a little more advanced in the adoption of robotics and that type of thing. But I mean, I think for us, you know, one of the things that stood out to me, which has been pretty fresh, I would say, within our industry, is kind of the automated loading and unloading on our side. We did see at ProMat last year, there was about two or three solutions focused on this. And it seems that this year at MODEX, I want to say there was at least six different solution providers now that were focusing on this. And what's most interesting to me there is that none of them really look the same. They're all kind of approaching it in a different way, whether it's from a, and there was differentiation there too between focusing on pallet loading and unloading, and then focusing on like loose case loading, unloading, like you would see in a container or something of that nature. So I thought that was really interesting to see. And then one company actually that stood out to me that I had not seen before, and they ended up being kind of like right around the corner from our booth, was pretty cool, was Reflex Robotics. Have you guys heard of them?
Reflex Robotics? No, I don't think so. Still in this space, automated loading and unloading?
No. So this was separate from automated loading and unloading. So they have a robot. I guess it's not quite a humanoid robot, but looks human-ish, I guess you could say. Like human characteristics.
No, it's the one. Yeah, it has wheels.
Yeah, so it has wheels. Yeah. It has like arms and a face, and it's doing things. But I think the interesting thing about that one was the ability to manipulate it remotely as a person. Actually, on the Sunday, the setup day when we were in there setting up our booth for the podcast, and I walked by and I noticed that they were setting up their booth and the guy had like VR goggles on. And as he was moving his head up and down, like the robot was moving its head up and down. And so I'm like, am I seeing what I think I'm seeing? So I went over and asked him, I'm like, am I seeing that, like when you move your head, like the robot's moving their head at the same time? And he was telling me, he's like, yes, you know, the idea behind their solution is that it can operate autonomously and do certain tasks. But at the same time, as it's like, you could go to the show, you could go up to their booth and you could ask the robot for like a bottle of water, and the robot would go pull a bottle of water off the shelf and hand it to you. Which was an awesome demo. But if there's some challenge or something, somebody, I think I was looking at their website, they can be like 3,000 miles away and they can intervene and like manually manipulate the robot to do like a more complex thing or something of that nature, which I think is pretty interesting. And I think the ability to do that remotely certainly gives you a little more flexibility on what you can do with those robots. And a third wave automation is doing kind of that similar thing too, which is like a shared autonomy where it's a reach truck, it's an automated reach truck, but then in certain aspects where maybe there's a more difficult pallet to pull off the rack or something happens, you can jump in and you can operate that robot as a normal forklift, but remotely, like if you're sitting at a computer playing a video game. So I thought that was pretty cool to see. And those two kind of stood out a little bit, as well as the loading and unloading there. Yeah. What do you guys think about those?
Maybe I missed the point, but how do you instruct the robot? Is it in, I don't know, is it like a interface, or how do you do that?
Yeah. So it was similar to like, what's in it, like the Oculus or VR type of setup, where you would put on the VR goggles and I guess you're seeing what the robot is seeing through that. So, and then they had some like hand controls where you control the arms and then control the gripper at the end to be able to grasp something. So yeah, pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's cool.
Sounds like the perfect solution for introverts.
I like that. Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, I guess so. Somewhere in the basement and control a bunch of robots. That's the right solution, right?
But yeah, so I guess like the main use case for these kind of robots are like for, I'm like referring to reflex, of course, but it would be like for like manipulation, like or simple manipulation in like dangerous environments, or maybe yeah, just working remotely, but like with simple operation. Like what kind of applications are those?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that's definitely the case. Like maybe it's a more hazardous area or something like that. But I think one of the interesting points of that and being able to have a remote worker or workforce that can do these types of things is, I know like here, like stateside, we see where we have these high concentration of warehouses or fulfillment centers, which has caused a very competitive labor market. So like the hourly wages have gotten really high for specific tasks, especially like the third wave automation example I sent out with a reach truck. I mean, a reach truck driver is like considered a pretty high skilled position, and the hourly pay has gotten very high for a reach truck driver in some areas, especially where I'm at here in New Jersey. So I think you're able to kind of leverage these remote operators and potentially tap into a different labor market that isn't necessarily within these highly concentrated warehouse competitive markets, and able to leverage that labor force a little more, potentially at a lower rate because of they're in like a lower cost of living area or something of that nature.
Yeah, that can introduce some interesting dynamics. Yeah, especially when it comes to labor prices, as you say, and something interesting.
Yeah, yeah, and
Now on the automated loading and unloading, I heard about that as well from my colleagues that also went to the show last week. But why do you think there is this explosion of vendors? I remember like the demo from Pico Robotics last year from at ProMat.
Yeah.
So I saw that one, and also Boston Dynamics as well was like showcased their solution. But what makes this application so interesting right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think what's so interesting about it is if we look at kind of the warehouse in general, probably one of the most challenging or difficult tasks to do just from a labor perspective is like container loading and unloading, especially when they're floor loaded, just because it's heavy, repetitive task, and it's hard to keep people in those roles too as well, because they can burn out. I mean, you're doing... I know for me in previous job, I mean, we were unloading 6 to 8 floor loaded containers, 40 footers a day. And it was very hard to keep people in that role just because it's a lot of heavy lifting just repetitively. So I think, you know, automating that and finding a way to take that out is potentially a huge win for an operation that does a lot of containers floor loaded. Is the, I think the first thing that jumps out to me. And then in terms of from a pallet perspective, you know, if you're loading pallets, it's time consuming, and it's limiting at times because you can only fit really one forklift or fork truck in a trailer at a time. And if that's a person, then it can take longer to be able to do that. So being able to automate that task, which is kind of predictable in a sense, I would say, and repetitive, can certainly speed that up. I know like Slip Robotics, they won the MODEX Innovation Award this year for their solution. So they're taking an interesting approach where, I don't know if you guys have seen Slip Robotics, but it's basically a giant AMR, like a moving piece of the floor in a sense, and you preload it, and then that it just sits on the dock, or it can be moved to a different area, but then once the truck shows up, it's ready to go, and that platform will just move into the truck within like 5 minutes. And they were actually demoing that live. They had two kind of fake containers, I guess, built on the show floor, and they were constantly just loading and unloading these giant AMRs that they've created to be able to do that. So yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of win there, especially as we see more and more imports coming in through containers that are floor loaded, to be able to maximize that cube in the container and automate that is such a really interesting thing, I think.
So like that, this is what you meant. Like at the start, you also said that, yeah, like all of these six or seven companies that we saw in this space were like all had a different approach. Is this what you meant?
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you mentioned Pickle Robotics there. So they're using like an arm, but then there's Mugen that has like, I don't even know what you would call it. It's like a wall of suction cups, basically. grabbing the boxes and then actually like dropping them onto a conveyor. And then they have their palletizing arm at the end of that conveyor to be able to palletize it. And then the slip I mentioned is like a giant AMR. Vision Nav unveiled their loading and unloading solution at MODEX last week too, which theirs is basically, it's kind of like an automated pallet jack in a sense, and that's focused on pallets. So it's interesting to see, and you mentioned Boston Dynamics, the stretch, which is kind of the arm on wheels, I guess, in a sense, would be the best way to describe it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's interesting to see kind of the different form factors and how people are attacking it.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting, and maybe, yeah, like it can be a little bit similar to robotic piece picking as well. That was at least something that was, of course, I think at trade shows in the last 5 years, like you've seen multiple examples of that. And still, I think like there is no convergence on one approach, that there is some variety still. And it was visible at Logimat as well this year. But no trucks at Logimat. It was like, I mean, you could see palletizing and depalletizing, but not for like that one specific use case, I would say. I don't know, Pia, what do you think?
Yeah, no, me neither. So a lot of piece picking or a lot of picking robots for different use cases, but I didn't see any truck loading or unloading. And I think we would have seen it because I guess this would have been a pretty big booth.
Yeah. Interesting.
But no.
Any piece picking solutions that stood out to you?
Yeah. So actually, I think like there were a couple of companies that didn't have a booth last year. Like, so for instance, Smart Robotics was their like company from the Netherlands. They showcased their like case picking robot, but also like we're talking a little bit about their unit picking robot. And also SSI Schaefer came out with their unit picking robot, and it's actually a gantry-based system, so a little bit different. So picks from two destinations, and the gantry is able to reach, like from two sources to three destinations.
Interesting. So, yeah, I'm curious, did you see any, because like I know on our side, like there's a lot of talk about ASRS too as well, but are you seeing where more than one like robotic solution is being paired together more often, like maybe like an ASRS with a piece picking robot?
I would say maybe like that was not like a huge focus. I saw less piece picking robots like at integrators booths and so on. Maybe one exception was the Nomagic booth, where they showcased a Nomagic picking from an AutoStore port that they designed, so like for the AutoStore system. But I think like when it comes to ASRS, one common theme was maybe that like flexibility. So we saw a lot of incumbents when it comes to like shuttle providers, like for example, TGW, Gebhardt, but also like the AMR-based solutions with Libiao and Hai. I think like all of these vendors came out with some version of like rack-based 3D shuttle that leverages AMRs to deliver totes at the port. So, and I think like the TGW one was especially interesting because actually they went into a collaboration with both OPEX. So they white labeled the OPEX shuttle robot, and that then delivers to a SafeLog robot, so an AGV basically, or a mobile robot. I don't want to be in trouble with the terminology here.
The robot police. And,
Yeah, you know, it's more touchy about that. but yeah, there is this quest, and the Gebhardt system as well was interesting. I think like maybe like a little bit different in the way that it was designed with this. I think it was an evolution of the upstream system that they came out last year. But in principle, kind of the same. Like you have an AMR that then delivers to the station, and similarly the Libiao as well. And I think like on this particular Libia Robotics, I think they were able to leverage a lot of the development that they had done already with the T-sort. So you can see like a lot of the components in the Air Rob system, like the new system that they launched recently, like can be traced back to the 3D sort. So I think it was I kind of like the solution in the sense that it just looked like an adapted 3D sort solution. Yeah, so pretty interesting.
Was it different at Modex? Did you have more like ASRS and peacepicking cooperations?
Yeah, I mean, there certainly was more talk around ASRS, I think, and, you know, people interested in kind of figuring out how can they maximize their space and get more out of their capacity without really having to roll into a new building in that sense. Because we're seeing, you know, on our real estate market, I mean, we don't have, our pricing is not getting lower. It's not going down. So I think people are trying to maximize that. But certainly seeing like a lot of collaboration too between robotics or automation providers on how to get more creative and be able to work together. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the T-sort there, Margarita. I mean, I actually saw a setup recently live at a distribution center here where they had like auto store set up, and then it went to a T-sort, and that got sorted out to, they were doing like totes to their retail locations, and then that went to a palletizer, and it was all different solution providers for all those different steps, but they're all kind of coordinated together. So it definitely seems to be a lot more collaboration and kind of partnerships going on between multiple different solution providers. I think we're getting to a point in the market or industry where people are going beyond just putting in that first kind of robotics or automation step, and they're looking to see how can they, you know, ensure that they're, you know, the whole kind of stream of those processes can tie together and do those types of things. And I guess along those lines, I think Margarita, you mentioned earlier around a lot more focus on like improvement of software and things of that. And I certainly saw a lot of that too, where people are trying to improve upon the overall solution, not only from like a software perspective, but just like a data perspective too, getting people ready to implement automation with better data. I'm curious if you could talk to us a little bit about that and maybe some of the things that you see around people trying to improve their solution or I guess make the hardware better through better software.
Yeah, I think like there was a theme like about around data and specifically also around more the like aftermarket. So and maybe, yeah, this is more related to safety and maintenance. But I think vendors are going more into the narrative of like trying to make the customer understand what it is like to run, like, for example, an SRS or an AMR based system. Like what happens after you roll out the automation. So like the world doesn't end when the project is sold, but it actually starts from there for the customer. So I think like from a safety perspective, especially High Robotics, for instance, like showcased a vest that like the like service personnel can wear and to access the racking system. And it allows basically when you access the area, like the AMRs don't really stop. So they just drive slower when as you come closer, and of course they stop only when you're at a certain distance. And Jun Heinrich as well like had something similar with their VNA forklift, and also AutoStore did showcase their data platform like Unify Analytics, which basically allows the super user to get a little bit more understanding of what's going on the AutoStore system and get statistics out of it. When it comes to software, like when you walk around the software hall at Logimat, I feel that you are a bit overwhelmed by like always the same words, same. But I was talking to someone today, and they were saying, they're all the same. Like it's just like it's a lot of fragmentation in this market, and actually functionality is maybe not the differentiator anymore for software. But I don't know, maybe this is a hot take. So what do you think?
Yeah, give us the hot takes. No, I mean, I agree with you on the software side. I mean, I think, like, for us, like, you know, the big buzzwords that you see on a lot of the software side is, like, visibility, AI, you know, we're using AI and visibility. Is that kind of the similar thing that you're seeing too?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say, yeah, we didn't see like any particular application. I think maybe, Pia, you went over the ICS group.
Yeah, my problem with the buzzword AI is that I have the feeling that you have to say that you're using AI, otherwise you're just out. So everybody just says they're using AI, and yeah, it's the same as cutting edge. What is AI? What is cutting edge? So yeah, let's start here. I think what I saw a lot was that usability was improved. So at a lot of booths, they had like systems that I already knew, that I already have seen, but in a, yeah, a little bit different way. So it was getting easier for users. So for example, the Cardex, I think it was intuitive picking assistant or something like that. And what Margarita says, mentioned was the ICS, I think was the company. They invented kind of a messenger with a ChatGPT integration. So it wasn't a really groundbreaking technology. You could say it's cutting edge, but it was cool talking to them, and it was also nice to see in ready to use integration of ChatGPT in such a warehouse messenger, where all the people that were involved in the processes could really talk to each other, but also use ChatGPT. And so it was cool. It was kind of AI, but it was no groundbreaking new technology, which I was totally amazed by, but it's useful. I mean, it doesn't really have to amaze me, but it has to be easy for the users and it has to be good for the warehouses. So I think it's, The AI part is always interesting, is always important, but not everything that says AI is the new rocket science or groundbreaking technology, I would guess.
Yeah, I think so, right? I agree with you. I mean, I think it's a lot of people trying to leverage AI or figure out how can they bring AI into their solution, because it's like on the top of a lot of people's minds and trying to understand that. But I've seen some similar solutions on my side too, where they're using like a chat GPT type of thing to work with a WMS and, you know, be able to ask questions and then get better insights from the WMS as well, which I think is interesting. But like you said, not necessarily like cutting edge or groundbreaking in that sense. And I'm curious from Logimat, I mean, one of the big stories and constant conversations at MODEX was around humanoid robots as well. And we only had one humanoid robot. Well, one company with humanoid robots. They had a couple of humanoid robots in the building, which was Agility Robotics and Digit. But I'm curious, did you have any humanoid robots doing demos over there?
No. I haven't seen any humanoid robot, and I was really looking forward to it because we had like an episode, I think 4, 2, 3 weeks ago, I don't know, with somebody who provided humanoid robots for warehouses. So I was really excited to maybe see one at Logimat, but at least I haven't seen any humanoid robots. Margarita, what about you?
No, and that was actually an observation with a few other colleagues as well. Maybe like Logimat is less, like more pragmatic, less futuristic.
Conservative.
Or at least this year, I would say. So, but yeah, like the closest thing we saw to a humanoid is someone had the pepper robot on their booth for like information, the one that holds a screen. But I think like it was not the focus of the conversation. So, no, maybe like also the narrative with humanoid robots hasn't stuck with in Europe at least.
Interesting. Yeah, I think it's interesting because it was certainly like a lot of the buzz here in stateside, and I think it was interesting that we're seeing, especially with some of the announcements around like funding for some of the humanoid robotic companies, like Figure, I think just raised like something crazy, like $685 million or something like that. But only one company was actually there doing a live demo, which was pretty interesting to see. It was moving totes around, moving boxes around, and they had added some grippers as well, I guess, which was new for them. I think they have like four different hands, I guess you would call them, for the humanoid robots to be able to do a couple different tasks. So I thought that was really interesting, and interesting to hear that there were no demos there at Logimat, and the conversation isn't really as buzzy, I guess, over in Europe, it sounds like.
Maybe next year, maybe you're 1 year ahead, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm curious. I mean, how do you guys, what are your thoughts on humanoid robots? Do you think they have a future in the warehouse world? Do you think they're practical, or do you think it's just kind of a fun thing to play with?
Well, in my opinion, we learned from Pete from Agility that it's still very early days for humanoid robots, and from what I hear I agree. I think I have the impression that for brownfield application that they can somewhat make sense. I'm more skeptical towards when you plan a warehouse, you probably don't plan to have humanoids in, but that's an option that you can kind of activate in the future in case you have labor shortage and you have a part of the process that is that simple. And Agility also, I think they have a pragmatic approach because they decided not to go for dexterity, right? They don't go into the complexity of mimicking what a human hand, how a human hand functions. And I think that's a smart move. It's better to focus on something else, and they still have a pretty defined use case. So I think that makes sense. What about you, Pia?
Yeah, actually the same. And I'm not that into humanoid robots, to be honest, but I think human hands or human-like hands, especially for piece picking, can be really interesting as soon as they're not that expensive anymore. So maybe it's because I'm from the robot picking area, but yeah, I think the hand could be the most interesting part of the human, which is a weird thing to say, to be honest. But yeah, I think you know what I mean. I think, I believe more in, or at the moment, I believe more in robotics or automation solutions that are not that close to a human or not that similar to a human. Yeah, just the hand. It's just the hand for me.
Yeah, because I mean, does it really need to be human shaped? And why does it have a head? There are so many questions like this. Yeah,
it's super creepy. It's always a little bit creepy, especially the eyes of a humanoid robot. No.
But it works, I don't think it was meant for that, especially I know that for instance, the fact that the Agility, I'm thinking of Agility now because we talked a lot about them, but the knees that they don't bend the same way of your human knees, but actually that's an advantage in the warehousing space because then you they're not in the way, so the humanoid can move up and down and it doesn't bump into anything. Maybe it was a casualty, maybe not super intentional, but it works.
Yeah, the knee is kind of, it's like reverse of a human, kind of almost, which is pretty interesting. And they had that kind of on display of how it crouches down and bends. They even had a little, I guess, funny thing built into the demo where the digit would stretch, do a stretch like a human would, which was pretty interesting. but to Pia's point, I mean, a little creepy as well at the same time. But I mean, I agree with you, Margaret. It's kind of, that's one of the challenges for me with it, I think, is that, why does it need to look like a human? We have lots of robots that I think are effective and, on wheels and, they don't look like humans at all. And so I think that's an interesting kind of challenge there that will be, if we see them more widespread, that I think a lot of people will have a bit of a hard time, getting over, getting by, if they're going to be working next to a robot that looks similar to them and has that face and is kind of looking at though, you know, it's like, what are you staring at, you know, kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting. And I recently had Jeff Cardenas from Aptronic on the podcast as well. I got a chance to talk to him at Manifest, and his had an interesting perspective. Was the idea to make them human-like is because warehouses, especially in like North America, have traditionally been designed around humans. So it seems like a good fit to put a human form factor in place there. But yeah, I think it's definitely an interesting thing. But I'm curious, Pia and Margarita, any kind of additional things that stood out to you over at the show there?
Yeah, one thing, because I already told you I wanted to be amazed at this LogiMAT fair.
Yeah.
but it didn't really was the thing I thought I would be amazed by. But when I think it was in Hall 7, it was fire protection. And I was a little bit confused because I didn't even care about fire protection before. It was just, yeah, something that is necessary for me, but I didn't really care about it. But I talked to the guys from High Air, which was a really, really small booth, and a lot of people might have just missed it. But I think it was, a really cool way to approach fire protection, because they use hydrogen, put it in a tank where it reacts with oxygen from the air to water. And the byproduct is then oxygen-reduced air, which they introduce to the warehouse, so no fire can occur. So you don't have to, I don't know, use water and destroy your whole warehouse when a fire occurs. But it's just not possible anymore. And another cool thing, the other byproducts are heat and energy, which is not the worst thing, I guess. And you have an ROI. So you have to buy the hydrogen, you have to invest in this first product, but all the rest is just really cool byproducts. And you get heat and energy out of it and no fire. So that was really cool to talking to them. I think I needed like 2, 3, or 4 approaches to really understand it. I just came back every time and they took the time and explained it to me. So that was really nice. If you're listening, thanks guys. So that was my highlight actually.
Yeah, no, it's a pretty cool alternative to ox redox systems, and very like futuristic as well. But I would say like that was a little bit of a different approach. We also came across a kind of a very, very small booth, so totally normal if you haven't seen it. It's a company called the Red Cable Robots. I think like they had an interesting approach where for retrieving automatically cases and pallets from a racking system. So instead of using gantries, they invented this system that has like still a central piece that retrieves the case or the pallet, but then like you don't need a railing because this is replaced by cables. So it's a little bit difficult to describe, but if you Google it, like you find, and it's it is pretty interesting. So those are those were our special highlights from LogiMAT.
Interesting. You said it's called Red Cable Robots.
Yes. Yeah, that's correct.
I'm gonna look that up. That sounds very interesting. Very cool. It's been really interesting to hear kind of the different perspectives and from Modax to LogiMAT, and I want to thank you both for joining me. I know you're fresh off LogiMAT just like an hour ago, right? So I really appreciate you coming on here and discussing this with us. And I think it's a good point too that you both made there at the end, where we see at these shows kind of these big elaborate booths with robots running around and all these automation things going on, but there are a lot of great and interesting things to find at some of the smaller booths as well, and they're kind of the next up in the industry potentially. So I think I would leave everybody with that tip to make sure that you don't just get lost in the big ones, and make sure you're keeping an eye out for the small ones in between too as well. So Pia and Margarita, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. It's been great to talk to you from the other side of the the globe here. If people want to get in touch with you or check out the Out of the Box podcast, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, you can find it on LinkedIn. And if you want to listen to the podcast, follow the links on our LinkedIn page or search for irgendwas mit Logistik. That's a German word. I'm sorry. In Spotify or Apple Music. But yeah, I think you will be able to find us. And thanks so much for having us. It was really cool to talk to you and get to know your insights from Modex. Yeah, what would you say? Do you have to attend both trade shows, or what would be your recommendation?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I don't know. I mean, I knew a couple people that were like, they were going home for one day and then flying to Logiman after Modex.
Wow.
Which I definitely did not have the stomach for to make that big 2-week trip. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's interesting because I mean, based on our conversation today, I mean, there's certainly some differences in what was going on in the differential markets there and what's kind of more stood out at Logimat versus Modex. So yeah, I mean, I've never been to Logimat, but from what I hear, it's certainly an experience just in the size of it overall. So is it necessary to go to both? Man, I think that's a tough question, right? I mean, it's a lot of time between all the square feet there and everything, you know, and a lot of steps to be had. What do you think? Would you come out to Modex? Have you been to Modex before?
I've been to Modex before, but on this point, I mean, that's why we have this episode, right? So yeah, you don't need to choose. You can get the best of both.
Yeah, pick one and then come talk to us after.
That's true. Exactly.
All right, well, it was a pleasure to talk to you both today. So thank you very much again, Pia and Margarita, for joining me, and thanks to those who have been listening along live here. Mm-hmm.